Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 19, looking in verse 9. "And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord." Flipping quickly to Revelation chapter 15, verse 3. "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints." Heavenly Father, once again we come into your presence. And we say, as the man said in the Gospels, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Lord, help me to decrease so that Christ may be seen, so that Christ may be magnified, so that Christ may be glorified, so that Christ may increase. And we're careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. We said last time that in this chapter, chapter 19 of Exodus, that God is getting ready to reveal the law to his people. In chapter 20, we read of the great Ten Commandments. And God is getting the people ready to receive the law. He has them to sanctify themselves. He puts a bound and says, you can come this close to the mountain, but no closer. And then he reveals himself in a special way, I believe, by speaking to Moses, responding to Moses. Moses calls out to God in front of the people, and God speaks back. It says in verse 19, "And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice." And we said that to this day, the Jews reverence Moses. They look to Moses. They believe Moses. Just as God said, "Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever." In the Old Testament, Moses appears to be the central character. We can read about Father Abraham. We can read about his faith. And he shows us that we need to trust God and believe God. And God teaches us through his life justification by faith. We can look at perhaps King David. He's the king of Israel. And it says that Jesus is the son of David. We can look at perhaps many other Jewish people that lived that are recorded in the Old Testament. But God answers Moses by a voice in the eyes of all the people. And this other verse that I read, Revelation chapter 15, verse 3, "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God." And the people that are singing this are in heaven. "And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb." John chapter 1, verse 29 says, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." In the Old Testament again, Moses is magnified. He is glorified. But in heaven, as Revelation records it, they sing the song of Moses and of the Lamb. When they passed through the Red Sea, it says that Miriam and the women would have you. They took up their tambourines and began to sing. They celebrated Moses. They magnified Moses. They said that Moses was a man sent from God. He is the great deliverer, they said. But Christ is the great deliverer from sin. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Certainly Moses is just a man. And Jesus is a man, yes, but he's God come in the flesh. Certainly Jesus is greater than Moses. But in heaven, they sing of both. But we've said again and again that Moses is a type of Christ, a foreshadowing of Christ. In the first part of this book, we see Moses going to Pharaoh and saying, "Let my people go." And eventually, the people are let go. Eventually, Moses leads the captive Jews free and delivers them from Egyptian bondage. But that is a picture of what Christ does for us. Jesus forgives sin. Jesus is the one that gave his life so that we could be free. Jesus is the one that we look to. Jesus is our victor. He is our deliverer. And as we see, Moses will shortly give the law to the people. Yes, it's God that wrote the law. Moses took two tablets up to the mountain, and God by his finger wrote the law. But he is the lawgiver, it says. But how many of you know that in Genesis, chapter 49, verse 10, the prophecy of Judah and what would befall him in the last days? We know that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. We know that King David was of the tribe of Judah, and so was Jesus. It says, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be." Christ is the lawgiver. Yes, Moses is the one that brought the Ten Commandments down from the mountain. But Christ is the great lawgiver. Again, we can read of Abraham. We can read of Elijah. We can read of Hezekiah. We can read of many heroes of the faith in the Old Testament. But all of these men, yes, God helped them to do great things. God helped them to speak the word of truth. God helped them to help their people. But they all glorify Christ. They're all types or foreshadowings of Christ. From Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22, we see Christ. Practically on every page, certainly in every book, we see Christ in the Old Testament, and obviously in the New. And they sang the song of Moses and of the Lamb Jesus Christ. I had the privilege last Sunday night of listening to a missionary. I know the man briefly. But God called him a number of decades ago to go to the nation of Peru. I have a friend of mine in Baton Rouge. He had been to Peru. The church that he attends, they make regular trips, probably every year or something. And he had been, and my friend told me that he came upon Stone Age people, people that really weren't civilized at all. And he said that these people, again, Stone Age people, They didn't have any clothes. They were naked, basically. God calls us to go to the ends of the earth to preach the gospel. Now, I don't know exactly where the missionary said that he went. He called the name of the town, and I really don't know where it is. If it was in the jungles or in the mountain, I don't know. But he said when he got there, there really weren't any churches. There was probably the Catholic Church, but as far as a Protestant church, there wasn't one. There weren't any missionaries, it was just him. No other denomination was there. And he said that he was led of the Spirit to do what Paul did, which was to go into that place and find a vacant lot, essentially. And every night he held services. He had a guitar or something, maybe a little amplifier or something. I don't know what he had. But he began to preach the gospel every night. Every night. Every night. They would pray during the day. They would perhaps do some visitation during the day or whatever they did. But the Pauline method of missionary work is to preach the gospel, to go into a town where there isn't a work, there isn't an established church, the denominations aren't there, what have you, but to preach the gospel. And he preached for 6-8 months, I think he said, and he had won 10 converts. And some would say 10, well, that's a lot of people, perhaps in a remote village like that. And I don't know exactly how big the town was. But he said, Lord, I want to win these people to Christ. And he went toward the center of town. And he found, again, another vacant lot or something near the town square. And every night, around dusk or something, he began to preach. And again, this is open-air preaching. This wasn't in a building. This was just, again, in a vacant lot. And he began to tell the people about Jesus Christ, reading from the Old Testament, reading from the New Testament, reading from the Gospels. He told the story of perhaps Lazarus, raised from the dead. He told perhaps the story of the disciples in the boat, Jesus asleep in the boat. They wake him up and he says, huh, what are you worried about? Peace be still, and the winds were calm. He told story after story, again from the Gospels or the Epistles or something, preaching Christ, lifting up Christ, glorifying Christ, not in flowery words, but he preached the cross of Christ. And in about 2 years of preaching, again, every night, in the vacant lot, he would draw crowds of 1,000 people every night who heard the word of God and said, I want this Jesus. They heard of the goodness of God, that God loves them, that God forgives them of their sin, that God wants to bless them. He taught them that if they have a struggle in their life, or they have sickness, or they have some kind of problem in their life, they don't know what to do perhaps, and they need direction, that they should look to Christ, that they should pray to God the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. And God answered. God answered their prayers. God comforted them. If they were sick, God healed them. If they were lost, perhaps bound by alcoholism or something, or drugs, I don't know the details, God set them free. And again, after a couple of years, they were running 1,000 a night. And at that point, they said, okay, maybe it's time to build the church building. And in this remote part of Peru, this town that probably nobody's ever heard of, the missionary went and did like Paul did, to preach the gospel, and raised up a great work. And he founded the first church there, the first Protestant church. How did he do it? He lifted up Christ. He magnified Christ. He glorified Christ. He, believing the Gospels, preached the Word of God, and he saw results. John chapter 12, verse 32, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." He didn't preach psychology. He didn't preach denominationalism. He didn't preach self-help. He didn't preach the name it and claim it gospel of greed. He didn't preach the philosophies of men. He got in his Bible. He believed it, got a message from God, and preached it, and saw great results. "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Again, in this 19th chapter of Exodus, God lifts up Moses, magnifies him. But let's take a look at how Moses is a figure of Christ, a type, a foreshadowing of Christ. It says in verse 18, "And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire, and the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long, and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice." And God answered him by a voice. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus went up on a certain mountain, and he took a few of his disciples. We know that as the Mount of Transfiguration. And it says, "And while he spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Moses, before the people, the mountain on fire because God came and descended upon the mountain. And God answered Moses by a voice. Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration. A bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. But the message was, Hear ye him. You see, Moses foreshadowed Christ. And to the Jew, this is a witness that Jesus is the Messiah. If you read the book of Hebrews, it gives a defense of Christ and lays out the case point by point for Jesus being the great high priest. Again, Jesus is the son of David, David the great king. And Christ is known as the Son of David. Revelation chapter 19, verse 16, speaking of Christ, "And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Matthew chapter 27, verse 29, "And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee to him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews." And a few verses down it says, "And they set up over his head an accusation written, This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Jesus is the Son of David. Jesus is the King of the Jews. The first time he came, It was to die for the sins of the world. He came meek. He came lowly, born in a stable. He wasn't born in the palace, he was born in a stable. But this is God come from heaven, come down in the form of a man, born in a stable. But if we put our trust in Christ, in what he did on Mount Calvary, which was sacrifice himself, shed his blood for the remission of our sins, we can be free of sin. Just as Moses led his people out of Egyptian bondage, Christ can lead you out of the bondage of sin. If you're addicted to drugs, Jesus can set you free. If you're confused and your mind is so disturbed and you don't know what to do, Christ can bring peace to you. Jesus can set you free. Whatever your trouble is, Jesus is the answer. The Bible says he's the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him. As the voice said on the Mount of Transfiguration, God from heaven speaking, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." You should do that. You should hear him. Jesus, when he called his disciples in the Gospels, he said to Matthew, to Peter, to Andrew, would have you, "Follow me." And that call is valid today. You should follow Christ. But the second time Jesus comes, remember he died, 3 days later rose from the dead. And it says he ascended into heaven. You can read about that in Acts chapter 1. He went into heaven, and the disciples were looking into the clouds. And two angels appeared and said, "Why are you looking up into the sky? When he comes back, every eye will see him. Every eye will see him." But when Jesus comes back, he won't be riding on a donkey like the first time. It says in Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood," which, remember the first time, he shed his blood. "And his name is called the Word of God, just as it says in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." He's coming back, just as the two angels said. And we need to follow him today and be ready for him when he returns. You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net/ministry. That's joeykelly.net/ministry. And you can read about the missions work that I do down in Haiti. Or if you like, you can write me at 324 Codifer Boulevard, number 9. That's Codifer Boulevard, number 9, Metairie, Louisiana, 7005. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.